I believe we are on Tesvav, a couple lines down from the top. Second line from the top. Mishenignas Aaron. It's a long daf, so we got to get started. So the Mishnah mentioned in discussed about the idea of the Aaron was hidden. So the Gemara now quotes another Braisa. The Gemara says Mishenignas Aaron, when the Aaron was hidden, Nignas Imo was hidden along with it. Tzinsenes Haman was the can of Mun that Moshe put in the Aron, to be kept throughout the generations. Shmos Tesvav Lamed Gimel. Utslochis Shemen HaMishcha, and there was a flask of the oil that was used to anoint, you know, Shemen HaMishcha. Umaklo Shel Aharon, and the staff of Aaron, Uprachav Ushkedav, the staff of Aaron with its blossoms and its berries, that was also placed before the Aron. That's in Bamidbar Yud Zayin, Perich of Pasuk Chav Gimel. The Arga Shivu Plishtim Ashram Lokei Yisrael, and the box that the Plishtim returned together with the Aron, that the Plishtim captured the Aron during the war, and they filled it with golden, you know, kalim, and they sent it back to Hashem. It was an Ashram to Hashem. That's in Shmuel Aleph Perik Vav. So these things were hidden. Once the Aron was hidden, these things were hidden along with the Aron. So the Gemara then says, Mignazo. So who hid it? Which this is going to go according to, remember yesterday we had a machlokas, whether it was hidden or it was taken by the Babylonians. So Mignazo, who hid the Aron? So the Gemara says here, this Gemara says, Yoshio Gnazo. It was hidden by Yoshio, who's the king of Yehuda. How did he know? Kevin Shara'a Shakasov. Because he saw that it was written. The Pasuk says, Yolich Hashem Oscha, V'yes Malkecha, Asher Takim Alecha, El Goya, Asher Lo Yadatu Atav Avosecha, Amar Gnozo. He saw it's written, the Pasuk says, the Lord will bring you and your king, whom you shall set, who shall set over you, to a nation that you have not known, not your fathers. So I guess he realized that you're going to be taken away, you're not going to be here anymore, so he went up and he hid the Aron. Right? And that, and it's proof of that again as well, as the Pasuk says, this is in, that Pasuk was in Dvarim, Now we're going to put the pasuk in Divrei Yomim, Perek Lamed Hey. The pasuk there says, "Diksiv Vayomer." Like it says, Yoshio says, "Vayomer LeLevi'im." He said to the Levi'im, "Hamevinim Lechol Yisrael Hakdoshim LaMashem, Tnu Es Aron Hakodesh Babayis. Put the Aron into the house. Asher Bana Shlomo Ben David Melech Yisrael Ein Lachem Asav Akaseif. Put the Aron in the house. You no longer have any burden upon your shoulders. Amar Lahem Im Golahu Imachem LeBavel." Yoshio also said to Levi'im, the Aron goes with you in Galus to Babel, so there's a concern, concern that you'll never return it to its place. So instead, Elah, what does he say? I taught Ibdu Shem Lekechem, V'yes Amol Yisrael. So rather what you should do, hide it away, and just serve Hashem and his people. There will be other jobs for you. Don't just hide the Aron. So here this is, whether the Aron is hidden, or the Aron was taken away, plays into the idea of whether we say that the Makom HaMikdash now is Kitchul Shaito, Kitchul Asalavo, whether there's still Kedusha there. If the Aron's still there, and it's buried underneath, and there's a possibility that there's Kedusha over there, that seems to be. Okay. Now, because the Braisa mentioned that the Shemen HaMishcha was hidden along with the Aron, so the court of Braisa about the Shemen HaMishcha. So the Gemara says, Pitum Shemen HaMishcha. So how did they go about, what was the type, and what was the amount of the spices that were used in blending and making the Shemen HaMishcha? So the Pasuk says, we'll just go here, it says, V'kidach HaMishmeos, right, the Pasuk says, take spices, you have all these different spices, Shein Elef HaMishmeos, it should say Shkolim, not Monim here, it says there are 1,500 Shkolim. So in the Bavli, it says 1,750, because they have a different calculation, just to point out. Right, so it says, Shein Elef HaMishmeos, it should be shkolim, okay? Shemen zayis ahin, it says shneim asar log. You had 12. So it's of the spices. There's 1,500 shkolim weight, and then you have a hin, which is shneim asar log of oil. Shebo shulkin esa ikarin divrei meir. So the olive oil is a hin. The hin equals 12 log, and in which they would cook the roots. They would take all these roots that we saw. We said there's 1,500 shkalim of roots. They would cook the roots of the plants mentioned in the previous pasuk, so that the oil would then absorb the smell or the fragrance of the of those roots. That's what Rav Meir says. Rav Meir says basically they would cook the roots of the plants into the oil. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says that what they would do is first shulkin hayim b'mayim. That's not it. Rather, what they would do is they would cook the roots in water, so then and then benosin shemen al gaveim, and then pour the oil on top, so that the fragrance of the cooked roots that was in the water would blend into the oil. You're not cooking the roots in the oil. You're cooking the roots in water, and then the oil. The fragrance goes into the oil, which on top, because the oil stays on top of the water. No, it doesn't mix. Right, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shulkin Hayi B'mayim, V'Nos Hashem Al-Gaveyen, and then Mishahaya Kolot Al-Reyach Hayi Ma'viro. When it would absorb the smell, they would remove the oil. Kederek Shehapatamin Osim. That's the way, I guess, that the perfumers prepare their oils. Right, Hadahu Diksiv, that's what the Pasuk says. Diksiv Shemen Mishlat Kodesh. And the Pasuk says, and you shall make it a holy anointing oil. All right, so I guess it says, it says Semen Mishla Kodesh. And where's the full Pasuk? That will help us. I think they're missing some of the full Pasuk. Semen Mishla Kodesh. Doesn't quote the full Pasuk. So at the end of the Pasuk, it says, you know, it says, it's, you know, in the art of the way that the perfumers would do it. The way the perfumers do it, I guess, would be that the oil, the water would be underneath, and they put the oil on top to absorb the smell. Okay. Tani Rabbi Yehuda Bei Rabbi Eloi. So continuing on the subject of the Shemen HaMishka, so Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilah, who's Stam Rabbi Yehuda, is Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilah, so he says, Shemen HaMishka Sha'osa Asha Moshe B'midbar Maisa Nisim Nasebo Mitzklu Batzof. The Shemen HaMishka that Moshe prepared in the desert, it was miraculous from beginning to end. Because Shemitchila lo hayabo ela shneimar sar log, so initially there were only 12 log of Shemen, Shneimar Shemen Zayis Hin, because it says it was a Hin. So then what happens, according to Rabbi Yehuda, see, I have a problem here. The way they're talking about here, they say over here, it says Shemen Zayis log, im la suchbo esa ikarin lo bispo sap tzipek. It's concerned about being absorbed, it's going about being absorbed in the with the roots that are being cooked, right? That coincides with the first bright part of the Brice, which was Rabbi Meir. That Rabbi Meir said they would cook the roots with the shem, and the oil would absorb it. And here it's Rabbi Yehuda, and the second statement was Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilah. It's some Rabbi Yehuda, it's the same Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilah. And there he's saying that there was no absorption. They should put it on top. So I'm wondering if the girsas have to switch between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Right, be that as it may. So he said you had 12 log, and if it would just it was to let such boas ikar noy by suffik. So if there wasn't even enough to pour the oil of the roots, alachs kamakamisha or boleya, and then when they cook it, it would be absorbed. Right, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they weren't cooked. Right, by eitzim bolim, the firewood absorbs by yoro bolas, and the fire itself absorbs. Umimener nimshiko a mishkan mekolkela, and from that they would anoint the mishkan and all the kelim. Hashulchan v'chol kelev, the table, right, the shulchan and all the kelim around there, ha-menorah v'chol keleha, the menorah and all of its, kelim, u'mimenu nimshichu Aaron, kohen gadol l'banav, koshivis me'imluim, and they anointed Aaron and his sons all the 7 days of the menuim, when they consecrated the mishkan, u'mimenu nimshichu kohanim gadolim malachim, and for that was the oil was used for the kohanim gadolim and the kings throughout all the generations. So it's a miracle that it had so much, that so little was able to last for so many things. Now the Gemara goes on to continue and says, Melech batchila ton meshicha, Melech ben Melech ain't ton meshicha. A king at the outset, I guess when he begins, basically it's not the first king ever, it's when the king begins a dynasty, right, the new king for a new dynasty, he gets meshicha anointed with the oil, but his next son, if his son is continuing the dynasty, there's no meshicha, my taima. What is the reason why? So the source is, Pasuk says by David, right? It says, Kum mishacheyu, Hashem tells Shmuel, God instructs Shmuel, Mishacheyu, arise, anoint him, ki zehu, for this is he. So I guess in the Lashon of Zeh. Zeh ton Meshicha, ve'in b'no ton Meshicha. This one requires to be anointed, and his son does not require to be anointed. Aval Kohen Gadol ben Kohen Gadol, but with each high priest, which each Kohen Gadol, even if it's a son of the previous Kohen Gadol, afil al asara dos, even 10 generations, ben achar ben achar ben, tor meshicha, would require meshicha. Right? V'chulo kayem lo asid lavo, and I guess that's saying that the Shemen Mishka remains intact, right, for forever. Hadahu Dixiv, because that's when it writes, Shemen Mishkash Kodesh Yezeh Li Lidoro Seichem. This Shemen, this Zeh shall be the holy anointing oil for me throughout your generation. So the word, apparently the word Zeh has the Bavli says the word Zeh is the Gematria 12, right? 7 plus 5 is 12, is Zeh, and which teaches that the original 12 log of oil existed at the outset and will remain throughout all generations. So now that we said that the king, only the initial king in each dynasty gets Shemen HaMishcha, but when it comes to the Kohen Gadol, each Kohen Gadol gets Shemen HaMishcha. It makes sense. The kingship is supposed to be hereditary. Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadula, it's not hereditary. It went from whoever got it. Okay. So Ein Moshen HaMalach, and the more continuous discussion about putting the Shemen HaMishcha on the kings. So it brings another brisa. And this is a brisa that should be familiar to us, the Gemara Horios, Gemara Krisos. This is the Gemara, the brisa that Gemara Horios and Krisos used to talk about Simonim on Rosh Hashanah. So that's Simoni Milsa. So here you have, Ein Moshon HaMalachim El Agave Mayan. We only anoint the kings next to a spring, next to a live spring, right? So you want his rain to flow like the spring. So you have Simonim are considered something that are important. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, this is by Shlomo. V'hir kavtem es Shlomo b'ni ala pirda. You caused Shlomo, my son, as David saying, caused Shlomo, my son, to ride on the mule, Asher Li, which belongs to me, right? Baratam also El Gichon. You bring him down to the spring, to the Gichon. That's the water that flows in Chizkiyahu's tunnel that you can go to in Ir David, right? Baratam El Gichon, Umashach also Sham Tzadok HaKohen, and you should anoint him there, Tzadok HaKohen should anoint him there by the spring. V'nasan Novi L'melchisor, so Tzadok and Nasan should anoint him over there. So you see, just like Shlomo was appointed by the spring, so to all kings should be appointed by the spring. Again, must be when we talk about spring kings who are from the next dynasty, because we just said that you don't have to anoint each king. And then the Gemara says, again, Ein Moshven Melech Be'Melech Elech Be'Machlokes, which I think what it means over here is the only time you would anoint a king, the son of a king, in order to, if there's Machlokes, if there's something going on that you have to prevent the Machlokes, some sort of dispute, then with the anointing, you'll show which side of the dispute you're on. So that's why the Gemara says, so Mibnei Ma Nimshach Shlomo, right, because the Pasuk brings out that Shlomo was anointed. Well, why was Shlomo anointed? He was the Ben Achar Ben of David and Melech. So he's a Mibnei Machlokto Shel Odinoyo, because it was the dispute of the throne, which was instigated by his older brother, Adonio. So now, he wanted to overthrow the Melech. So now, similarly, the Gemara says, Yoash. Why was Yoash, who was the son of Achaziah, why was he anointed as king? So that's Mipnei Ataliyahu. That was because of the threat of Ataliyahu. That was his grandmother. She wanted to seize the kingdom, and she killed a lot of people. So because of that, they anointed him. And again, Yehoahaz, why was Yehoahaz, who was the son of Yoshiahu, why was he anointed? Mipnei Yehoyakim Achiv, Shagadu Menu Shtei Shanim. Because he had an older brother. He had an older brother who was 2 years older than him. Ordinarily, the older brother would become king, not the younger brother. I guess in order to avoid machlokas, or to determine who was the king, they did Shemen HaMishka. And Yehu Mipnei Yoram. And you also have Yeru, who was the son of Yehoshaphat. He was anointed with the oil because of Yoram, who was the son of Achav. Right? I guess Yehoshaphat rebelled against Achav. And so there was a dispute. Who would be the king, Achav's son or Yoram's son? And Yehu was appointed as king because to avoid machlokas with Yoram. So then Gemara says, Gemara asks about just towards the end of the list that we said that was Yehu was anointed right with the Shemen HaMishka. But the Gemara says, Lo King Siv, doesn't the pasuk say Kuv Mishachayu Kizehu? You should anoint him because this is the one. Zetol Mashicha, which the Gemara learns out, the Reis learns out, that only Malchay Yehuda require Shemen HaMishcha Mashicha. Zetol Mashicha, the E Malchay Yisrael to Uni Mashicha, but Malchay Yisrael should not have Mashicha. So why in the last case, which is Yehu Mipnei Yoram, that's Malchay Yisrael. So what's going on to Shemen HaMishcha and the Malchay Yisrael? The Gemara says, before the Gemara answers that, the Gemara asks another question. Elo Yehoachaz, Mte Yehoyakim, Shahaya Godom Yemenu Sheshonim, Velo Yoshio Gnozo. Well, it's, chronologically, it makes no sense, because Yehoachaz, it says, was anointed with Shem and Mishra because of Yehoyakim, but that can't be. How can that be that he was anointed due to the competition of Yehoyakim? Didn't Yoshiyahu, their father, hide the Shemana Mishka? That's where we started today's daf. That along with the Aron, Yoshiyahu hid, he also hid the canister containing the Shemana Mishka. So how is Yehoyachaz being anointed with the Shemana Mishka? So the Gemara says, you're right. Right, Hada Amara, that's what we say, Be'arfar Simon Nimshach. They weren't with the Shemana Mishka. There was some other thing, this balsam oil, I guess. It wasn't the regular anointing oil. That was hidden. Rather, you had this other shemen, the shemen that was used, I guess just as symbolically, I guess to avoid the machlokas. So just like Yehoyachaz had that put on him, so too we'll say that that's what Yoram, that's what Yehu had placed on him, not the Shemen Mishka, because the Shemen Mishka either was hidden, and therefore the ones in the later kings in Yehuda couldn't have it, and that's why they had this other oil used, because it's for the Malchei Yisrael. Okay. Ein Moshrin Amlachim Elamin Akeren. So we further taught that you only anoint the kings with a from a, I guess the vessel has to be for a horn. Right, so Shaul and Yehu nimshichu min apach, Shaul and Yehu were anointed from oil poured for some sort of earthenware vessel, haisa malchus and malchus overis. So therefore their kingdom didn't last. David and Shlomo nimshichu min akeren, they were poured out from a horn, and haisa malucha and malchus kayemes. And then their monarchy lasted for many generations. Now, very important line, ein moshen kohanim malachim. Right, the Gemara says, the Rebbe says, you may not use Shemana Mishka to appoint kohanim to be kings. Seems to be a direct assault on the Chashmonaim, which the Ramban, on his parish of the Torah, takes to task, takes the Chashmonaim for task, not necessarily from the outset, but for maintaining their malchus, and he says that they were punished. He said he was very critical of them, and he says the reason why at the end of the time, all the Chashmonaim were basically wiped out. They were wiped out by their servants, who became the kings. And Ramban says he takes it to task because they violated this idea of being kings. Why? Because Amar Rav Yuda Antonidaria, which says over here is on the Lebanese side of the Galil, right? It says Al Shem, because the pasuk says Lo Yashor Shevim Yehuda. The scepter should not depart from Yehuda. So you have to ask, well, then how Shaul appointed king? He wasn't from Yehuda, right? So Amar Rav Chir Barada says you have another pasuk. The pasuk says Leman Yarichem Mima Malto. This is the pasuk in Devarim in Yud Zayin, which talks about appointing a king. It says Leman Yarichem Mima Malto. Who will not carry Israel? So the pasuk says, to the end he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. And the next parak begins, the next pasuk says, and that's parak Yudches, it says, Baksi Basre was there right after that, Lo Yiela Kohanim Aleviim. The priests and the Leviim should not have. So basically that's talking about they don't have an inheritance in land. But if you juxtapose the two psukim, that it should be Leman Yarich Yamim Amlachto, and then the next pasuk says the priests should not have it, so they should not be the king, right? Lo Yiela Kohanim Aleviim. Okay, so again you have to ask about Shaul. How's that happen? Maybe Shaul was just protecting the kingdom until David came along, or maybe it was supposed to be that afterwards it was supposed to be a combination between Yehuda and Binyamin. Right. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Hu Yochanan, Hu Yehoachaz. So the pasuk, remember before that, we said that Yehoachaz was appointed because of his brother Yehoyakim, because of his brother 2 years older. So they're quoting a pasuk in Divrei Yamim. Right, the pasuk in Divrei Yamim lists the sons of Yoshiyahu, and it says that the Bechor was Yochanan, the second was Yehoyakim, the third is Sidkiyo, and the fourth is Shalom. So now the Gemara says that Yochanan is Yehoachaz, but that's a problem, because it lists Yochanan first. So that means Yochanan is the oldest. And if he's Yehoachaz, we just said that Yehoachaz was anointed with the oil because of the controversy with his older brother. This pasuk seems to indicate that he's the oldest. Right, Behaksim HaBechor Yochanan. So the Gemara says, fine. Bechor Lamalchus. When Divrei Yamim is listing them, it's not listing them in age. It's listing him, he was the first one to be the king of these sons. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Hu Shalom Hu Tzidkiyo. The pasuk lists Tzidkiyo, and then L'Shalom, Rabbi Yochanan says, that's the same person. The Gemara says, V'haksiv HaShlishi Tzidkiyo, V'arvi Shalom. The pasuk says the third son is Tzidkiyo, the fourth one is Shalom. So again, we're reinterpreting the pasuk. It says, Shlish L'Tolodos, Revi L'Malchus. He's the third in the order of being born, but he's the fourth to bring king, to be the king, because he had his two older brothers, Yehoachaz and Yehoyakim, who became king, and then he had a nephew who also became king before him. So after Yoshio, there were two sons, then a nephew, and then this third son. So he's the third son, but he's the fourth after after Yoshio to be king. Okay, so now the Gemara brings another brisa that discusses these names. The Gemara says Sidkiyo. What was the name? Why was his name Sidkiyo? Should Sidik Alav Midas Hadin, because he accepted upon himself Midas Hadin, right? Because I think Nebuchadnezzar had Sidkiyo's sons killed in front of him, and then he gouged out Sidkiyo's eyes, and he Sidkiyo, you know, justified the punishment, so he's called Sidkiyo. Why is he called Shalom? What's he Shalom? Shebiyamav Shalma Malchus Beis David, because in his days it was the completion of Malchus Beis David. I guess because he's the last king, and that's the end. But then the Gemara says, Lo Shalom Havishmei, Velo Tzidkiyo Havishmei, neither of those were his given names. Ela Matanya, his name was Matanya, right? Hadukudaksiv, that's why Pasuk says, Vayamlich Melech Bavel, it says that the king of Bavel made or appointed Matanya. He made him, as Matanya Dodo Tatov, he appointed Matanya, his father's brother, king in his place. Right, and he changed his name to Tzidkiyo. So the pasuk indicates, this is in Malachim Beis, Perek of Dalet, the pasuk indicates that the king of Bavel changed his name to Tzidkiyo, but that was not his original name. Okay. Now we're going to talk about going back to the Aron. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Ba'amo shel shishim tvachim haya Aron osoy. The Amma that was used as the measurement for the Aron was made up of six Tvachim. So one Amma equaled six Tvachim. Man Tana v'Amma shel Shisha Tvachim. Who is the Tana that holds that the Amma of the Aron was six Tvachim? Rabbi Meiri, again, the Girsos here are all over the place. The Grot changes and takes things out. So I don't know if I'm reading it and it's different than what's in the art school. I don't know. Everything gets flipped around. But the idea is, are basically the same. The idea is basically we're going to try to figure out how big the Aron was, how big the Luchos were, and whether or not there was a Sefer Torah in the Aron along with the Luchos, or the Sefer Torah was on the outside of the Aron, not included inside the Aron with the Luchos. That's the whole, basically the whole gist of the next, half an Amun, I guess. So Rabbi Yochanan says that Rav Meir is the one who says that an Amun equaled six Tvachim. The Tanan, because we have a Mishnah that says, Rav Meir said, Kola Amos Haya Bivveinonis. All the Amos that were used by the Mishkan were this middle-sized Amma, which is six Tvachim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rabbi says, no, the Amos of the Mishkan, Habinyan Shisha, the ones that were used to build the actual structure, it was the six Tvachim Amma, Shokelim Chamisha, but the Amos used for measuring the Kelim, for measuring the vessels, the Shulchan and all that stuff, that was only five Tvachim, so everything was a little smaller. So, Aldaiti de Rav Meir du Amar Abra Amos Shisha Tvachim Ayaron Osoy. So, according to the opinion of Meir, who said the Aron was constructed using an Amma of six Tvachim, so then we say, Orko shel Aron chamisha sar Tvachim. The length of the Aron was 15 Tvachim. The Ksiv, because the Pasuk says, Amasayim v'chetzi Orko. 2.5 Amos. So basically, 2.5 times 6, right, is, because it's 6 Tvachim in Amma, would equal 15. So the Gemara says, Amasa shisa, 1 Amma equals 6. V'amasa shisa, 2 Ammas equals 6, that's 12. Upagos a mabachetzi and a half, right? Half amasa tlasa is 3, so 6 plus 6 plus 3 is 15. So it was 15 tvachim long. And then the Gemara said, the Brisa continues, the arba luchos hayabo. There were two sets of luchos in the Aron, shnayim shleimim, two that were complete, v'shnayim shmurim, and the initial luchos, the shivrei luchos, were also in the Aron. Diksev, because the pasuk says, asher shibarta, the luchos that you broke. V'samta ba'aron, put into the aron. Haluchas I call echa ve'echa arkos shisha tvachim. Rachbo, the Gemara changes the shisha to 3. So there's six tvachim long and 3 tvachim, I guess, wide. So tain, the Gemara again here says arkon, some change it to rachbon. All right, tain, arkon shaluchos, the arkon shal aron, line them up. Nishtayisham shlosha tvachim. You end up having 3 tvachim wide. Right, the length of the aron was 15, and the length of the two luchos together are 12, right? Because there are, each one is 6, so 6 times 2 is 12. So therefore you have 15 and 12, so there are 3 tvachim left, right? Nishtayir sham, shlosha tvachim, you have 3 tvachim left over. Again, the Gemara changes that out. Okay, tein mehem, chatzi tefach l'chol kotel, so subtract from the 3 tvachim that's remaining, a half of a tefach for the width of each wall, This is also Gemara Bava Basra, Daf Yud Daled, and Nishtayer Shnei Tvachim Sefer Torah. So now there are two Tvachim, I guess, in which, on one, if you move to slide over to one side, so there are two Tvachim in which a Torah scroll was placed, a very small Torah, I guess, was placed, maybe it's like the one we have, was placed in the Aron. Okay, so in the Gemara, it says, Rachbo Shel Aron Tisha Tvachim. The width of the Aron was 9 Tvachim. Right, so again, 9, because, and then you have 6, so how many, 9 Tvachim, because 1 Tefa, 1 Amma equals 6, how the Ksid, the Pasuk says, Amma V'chetzi Rachbo, 1.5 times 6, would get you to 9, how does that work? Amasa Shisa, right, 1 Amma equals 6, Upagus Amma, so half an Amma is Plasa, is 3. Now the next lines we'll read, the Gemara takes it out, V'arba, Luchas, Ayubot, Shnaim, Shleimim, Shnaim, Shurim, Dixiv, Ashashim, Yibartim, Santam, Aaron. Okay, take that out. Okay, now, Haluchos, the Luchos again, Hayakol Echa V'Echad Arkon Shisha Tvachim Rachbon. Again, it should be 3 here. It's 6 long and 3 wide, I guess. Tain, whether it's Rachbon or Arkon, Shaluchos, the Rachbon Shal Aron, line them up. Nishtayr Sham Shlosha Tvachim. Again, so you're going to have 3 Tvachim left over, right? If you lay the width of the tablets across the width of the Aron, right, you're going to, right, so the width of the Aron was 9. And over here, I guess it should be, their width is, each one is 3, right, that's why it has to be 3 Tvachim, each one is 3, so there's 6, so you have left over 3 Tvachim, Chatzi Tefachim Mikan L'Kol Tolzeh, V'Chatzi Tefachim L'Kol Tolzeh, U'Tvayim L'Shilut Makom Sefer Torah Munach. You have, take away a half a Tefach on either side for the wall, and then you'll have room inside so you can manipulate and move the Sefer Torah, so it's not squeezed in, you have room on either side to manipulate and move the Sefer Torah. Okay, now, Rav Shimon ben Lakish Amar, Rav Shimon Lakish says no, that the Aron was not, one Amma did not equal 6, one Amma only equaled 5 Tvachim. Therefore, we're going to have less room, and we're going to not have enough room to put the Sefer Torah in. Rav Shimon ben Lakish Omer, Ba'amma bas chamisha Tvachim ayir asun, it was made of Ba'amma so 5 Tvachim, Ma'atan Ba'amma bas chamisha Tvachim, who's the Tana holds that the Amma is 5 Tvachim, it's Rabbi Huda, it's Nina Tamar, because we cited the Brice before, Rabbi Huda Omer, Amma sabinyan shisha, the Amma of the binyan, of the building, of the house was 6, Shokel chamisha, the Aron of the Kalim was 5, Vahain Aron klihu, and the Aron's a kli. So the Aron's a kli, and therefore the Amma used by it was 5. So therefore, I'll die to Rabbi Huda do Amar, according to Rabbi Huda says that the Amma shel chamisha tvachim was only 5 tvachim, so haya orko shneimasar tefach ametza. So the length of the Aron is only 12.5 tvachim. How do I know? Right, because the ksiv, amasayim v'chetzi erko, so amasa chamisha, one Amma is 5, amasa chamisha, another Amma is 5, v'chpalgus v'chetzi is amsa trei pilupali. It's 2 Amos point and a half. Basically, so it's 12.5 is the length. Barba luchos hayubo, and again you have the 4 luchos in there. Shnayim shleim shnayim shvurim, the 2 full ones and 2 broken ones. Dixi b'shashi yibartim v'santa ba'aron, so the ones that you put on the aron. Baluchos I call echa v'echad arkon shisha tvachim v'rachban, again it should be 3, it should be shlosha, right tvachim. So tein arkon, say tein arkon luchos either the arkon or rochbo shel aron, line them up. Nishtayim sham chatzia tefach. What ends up happening is you only have, if you have made up of 5 tvachim, each one is 6 a tvachim, so that's 12. So the 12 was lined in across 12.5, right, so all you have left is chatzi tefach. You only have half a tefach that's left over of room that's not taken up by the luchos. Etzbol kol t'mikan, etzbol kol t'mikan, you end up having another, I guess a finger breadth is taken up by the wall on either side. So according to this opinion, there is no Torah scroll placed in the Aron. Then the Gemara continues, Rochbo shel aron shiva tvachim meksa, the width of the aron would only be 7.5 tvachim, diksev amava chetzi rochbo, it says 1.5 amos is its width, so 1.5, amasa chamisha, so amo is chamisha, the palgos amso trepolik, 1.5, so it's 7.5 is the width, right, because 1.5 times 5 gets you 7.5, okay. The arba luchos hayivok shleim 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 shurim. The ksiva shashibartim santa aron. Again, the Gemara takes it out. What do we need it there? We just learned that before. Now, haluchos, according to this, the luchos hayikol echav echad arkon shisha tvachim v'rochbon shisha, and should be again. I think it should be 3 over here. Okay, it was 6 by 3. Tein rochbon the rochbon shel aron. Lined them up. Nishtay sham tefach u'metza. You left over with a tefach and a half. Etzbal kol to mikav, etzmi kol to mikav, chasi tech mikav, chasi tech mikav, l'shilut. And then you had, so you end up having a half a tefach left over on either side in order to manipulate and handle the luchos. You could place and take out the luchos, but there was no sefer Torah according to the second shita. Now the Gemara continues discussing the Aron. So keitzad asa betzalel sa'aron. How did betzalel make the Aron? Okay, so Rabbi Chanina Amar, this Gemara also appears in Yoma, Daf Ayin Beis. Rabbi Chanina Amar, Shalosh Tevos Asahu. He made three boxes, basically. Right? Shtayim Shal Zahavi Acha Shal Eitz. Two were golden boxes, and one was a wooden box. Right? Nasan Shal Zahavi Shal Eitz. He put one, the small golden, but smaller golden box into the larger wooden box. Bishal Eitz Bishal Zahav. And then he put the mid-sized wooden box into another larger golden box, so that the wooden box is completely surrounded by gold. Vitzipo, that the ksiv, vitzipiso says up to her by some chutz, that it has to be covered with gold on the inside and the outside. Aye, but the Gemara then says again, matam lo tzipenu. The pasuk says tzipenu again. So that's lahavi svaso elyona. Because what happens is when you put the wooden box in between the two golden boxes, so that covers the wooden box on the inside and the outside with gold. What about the lid, the top? It's not covered. So that, it's pasuk says tzipenu to cover the top of the wooden box again. I guess glaze it over with gold. That's how Rabbi Chanina says. But it's interesting. Who's that Rabbi Chanina? Rabbi Chanina is a Tana. And now you're bringing here Reish Lakish. So I'm not sure who this Rabbi Chanina is. Okay. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, no, Teva Achas Atzav Itzipo. It was one wooden box. It was completely covered with gold. You should, I guess, overlay it with gold on the outside and the inside. Ah, okay, so then what's the matam la titzapenu? So what's the next, it says fitzipisa and then titzapenu. What's the next titzapenu? It says overlay it again. It says, no, amar pinchas lahavi ben nesel and neser. Because it was a wooden box, it's made up of boards. So you had to make sure that the gold, I guess, went into the plates, I guess. They were made up of a number of boards, so that, I guess, the fissures between each board also had to be filled in and covered in gold. Okay. So Ketzad Hayu HaLuchos Ksuvim. So now the Gemara continues with the Luchos. What was written on the Luchos? So this is, don't teach this one in elementary school. Right? Ketzad Hayu HaLuchos Ksuvim. So here's Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer. That's the Tana, Rabbi Chanina. Right? I just tell differently, so maybe it wasn't Amor. Right? Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, he said, Chamisha Aluach Zeh, B'Chamisha Aluach Zeh. Just like we have, on we see everywhere, there are five Dibros on the right side, five Dibros on the left side. Hadahu Diksiv, that's why the pasuk says, Vayichtaveim al shnei luchos avanim. It was written on two luchos avanim. Okay, so also again, if you look in the Girsos, the Gra changes all these psukim that we're about to quote, the Gra basically just changes them all. So I don't know what's in there. I'm just going to read what's in here. If it's the same, it's great. If it's different, then know that they're just Girsa issues. Okay. Rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan say, Asara luach zeh ve'asara luach zeh. He says all of the Ten Commandments were written on the one tablet, and the same Ten Commandments were written again on the other tablet. Hadohu diksev, that's what the pasuk says. Vayageh lechem es briso, ashivaschem lasos asaris hadvarim. Right, he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, which is the ten words. Asara luach zeh ve'asara luach zeh. Somehow they teach you that there were ten on this tablet and ten on that tablet. Right, they. Why do we accept it? I don't know. Because it makes sense? Because it's even? Makes it neat?
I mean, the whole drosh is about how one...
But we're not even done yet. We're not even done yet. Listen to the next one. Rav Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Esrim aluach zeh ve'esrim aluach zeh. There were 20 on each luach. Basically, it was back, the front side and the back side. You had 10 on the front, 10 on the back, and the other luach had 10 on the front, 10 on the back as well. It was written on them on two tablets of stone. And I have not even done yet, right? Asher maluach zeh, asher maluach zeh. Rav Simai Amar, arbaim maluach zeh, the arbaim maluach zeh. Because each one had 20 on the front, 20 on the back, and the other one had 20 on the front, 20 on the back. Diksiv, mizeh mizeh ksuvim, which tatiroga. Tatiroga is a cube, some sort of cube. I guess it was on one side and the other side like a cube. So he had them, I guess it was very thick, I don't know. But he had 40 on each, which is, like, we never do that. We don't teach this in elementary school. We teach 5 and 5. Drushes here are different. Okay. Why we chose one over the other? Don't know.
You
should make a really big parochas. So you should do it on the front and the back. Let's go 40. Let's go 40. Why not? To get the so when you have to have it, but the parochas has to be one that could flip. It's reversible.
Yeah.
So you can see it on both sides. Okay. Chananya ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua Omer. So this is interesting also. Chananya, the son of the brother of Rabbi Yeshua. No. I think the nephew says here. Here he says nephew.
Son of his brother, yeah.
Okay. I read it wrong. Chananya ben achi Rabbi Shua Omer. Chananya, the son of the brother of Rabbi Shua. So that's the nephew, right? Ben kol dibor redibor, between each dibor, between each of the one of the dibros, dik dukeha v'osiyoseh shel Torah. You see, you had Torah shebach bal peh written in there. Yeah, you had there is you had the details and the explanations written between them, right? V'osiyoseh shel Torah nechsev. The pasuk says in Shir Shirim, it says mulaim b'tarshish. Right, Tarshish is the name of it's like a sea. Maybe it's like the I'm not sure what the Tarshish. He says over here the word has a number of different meanings. Some say the sea referred to in the Gemara was found near a place that goes to the Mediterranean. Some say Sartish is also one of the gemstones. Right, Tarshish is one of the gemstones that's placed in the ephod of the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. I don't know. It has the color of the sea. It says mulim b'tarshish. It says kiyama rabba. Right, when it's, I guess Tarshish, it's discussing that the Torah is filled kiyama rabba. It's like the great sea. It's filled with many waters. So to the Sefer Dibros was filled with all these rules and regulations. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, karavi matei aden kraya hava amar. So when Shimon ben Lakish would reach this pasuk of mimulaim b'tarshish, he would say, yafel limadni chananya ben achim Rabbi Yeshua. He said that what Chananya, the nephew of Yeshua, taught was correct. Mahayam hazeh ben gal gadol le gal gadol galim tanim. Between each of the big waves in the sea, there are smaller waves as well. Kach ben kol dibor v'dibor. So too, between each dibra and dibra, which is, I guess, the great sea, diktu teha ve'osiyoseh shal Torah. Then you have the explanations and the details of the Torah written in between each of them, which is interesting. That seems to indicate that you have some Torah shebal peh written already in the luchos, in the Torah Shebuksav, but we always said that Torah Shebuksav wasn't written down till Rebbe came, because Eis Laso Shlashem and Firo Sosea, and allowed him to put the Torah Shebuksav and Torah Baal Peh in writing. Here you have some sort of Torah Shebuksav. I don't know what it was, but there were some things, some explanations are written on the Luchos themselves.
Could it not mean that many of the mitzvahs which we associate with the
could be
Tiferes were
it could be. It could be, but those psukim weren't even given yet. I don't know. Could be. I don't know. Amar Rabbi Tanhumba. So now the Gemara says, okay, we're going back. We had the machlokus, how big the amma of the aram was. Was it 5 tvachim like Rabbi Yehuda or 6 tvachim like Rabbi Meir? So according to the opinion of Meir, so the Torah was placed in the Aron. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there wasn't enough room, it wasn't placed there. So Rabbi Tamchuma, this is one of those places where you have no idea where he's coming from. There's no segue. So you need these English translations. So Rabbi Tamchuma is Kashias Komei de Rabbi Pinchas. So Rabbi Tamchuma raised the following question in front of Rabbi Pinchas. Asik here Rabbi Yehuda, right, the following pasuk is going to go according to Rabbi Yehuda, the lo asik here Rabbi Meir. And it doesn't conform to the opinion of Rabbi Meir. My time at the Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason why Rabbi Yehuda says that the Sefer Torah was not there? They say because the pasuk says, "Lakoh." Right, there's a pasuk in Dvarim Lamid Aleph, "Lakoach as Sefer Torah hazeh." Take the Sefer Torah, "Vesamta oso mitzad Aron Bris Hashem," and put it on the side of the Aron, which is the Bris Hashem. Right, which is that means adult. And then I guess it says again, "Al daiti the Rabbi Yehuda." Do Omar Hechanai Sefer Torah Notzon? Where was the Sefer Torah placed? Kimin Guluskia Asoy Lom B'chutz by Sefer Torah Notzon Masocho. The Sefer Torah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's this box-like container, this Guluskia, right, which is made for it on the outside, and the Torah was placed in it. So it was attached on the side because it says, "By the Santoso Mitzad Aron," put it on the side. So I guess Mitzad can mean either on the outside side or on the side could be on the inside, on the side of the Aron. So my time under Rabbi Meir. So what's the source of the opinion of Rabbi Meir? Again, as a girsa here, what's the source of Rabbi Meir? The Ksiv, the pasuk says, "V'nasata es hakaporis ala aron." You shall place the covering on top of the aron milmala. V'la aron titein es ha'edus asher tein alea. And in the aron, you put the edus which I will give to you. So the problem over here, the pasuk seems to indicate that first the aron was covered, it was placed on the aron, and only after that was the edus, which is the tablets are placed inside. We have a problem because a previous pasuk, like 5 pasukim earlier, already tells them, I'm just reading here, already tells you to put the luchos into the aron. So what's the second commandment to put the luchos in the aron? Already know 5 pasukim earlier to put the luchos in the aron. So he says that's referring to the Torah scroll, not the luchos. So that's why it says the Netzata al Kaporis al Aron Milmala al Aron Titeim Lisa Edus. This Edus is not talking about the Luchos, which is already in there. It's talking about the Torah. The problem is over here that the Torah is a little bit out of order, because it seems to say that you put the cover on it and then you put the Torah in. How does that work? Right. So the Gemara says al Daite de. Well, again, it's a Girsa here. Over here, he changes it to Rabbi Yehuda. Al Daite Rabbi Yehuda Amar Ein Mukta Mucha B'Torah. Right, Ella Aron Titan say Adus or Shatina Alecha, the Akakan Sata Sakapora Aron Malala. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he's gonna have to say a Mukta Mukha Torah even in one Pasuk. Because the Pasuk says you put the cover on and then you put the Adus inside. So how does that work? So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's just a Mukta Mukha Torah, which is very, very expansive reading of a Mukta Mukha Torah. Sometimes we say that different prakim are, there's no order, they're always in order. The prakim may not be written in a chronological order, there's some other maybe thematic order. Here he's saying within the same Pasuk. It's out, not in chronological order. Okay. And to finish up with this, went faster than I thought. Rabbi Pinchas b'shem Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Rabbi Pinchas says in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, I don't know what this means, HaTorah shenasma kodesh baruch hu Moshe nitna lo eish levana charusa b'eish chora hi eish muvlelis b'eish chatsuva b'eish unesuna b'eish diksiv mimino eish dasnomo. Rabbi Pinchas said in the name of Lakish, the Torah that Hashem gave to Moshe on Har Sinai was given to him with white fire engraved with black fire. The Torah itself is fire mixed with fire, carved from beneath the fire, and given from Hashem, who is fire. T'ksiv eish das lomo. His right hand is a fiery law unto them. I don't know what that means, that there's the Torah is given fire, whether it's literal, metaphorical, probably both. Okay. We'll stop here. We'll pick up tomorrow by the Mishnah and do a new... start a new topic.